Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Today we've got quite a bit to catch up on. It's been a pretty eventful weekend. Of course, we had Tesla's GigaFest at the Berlin Gigafactory. We've got FSD Beta 10.2 dropping and rolling out to more drivers. Got some pretty big news on Tesla's Model X and a couple other stories as well. Decent start to the week for Tesla stock, finishing up 0.8% today to $791.94. That compared to the NASDAQ down 0.6%. All right, so we'll start off with GigaFest. This turned out to be quite the event. After a relatively tamer shareholder meeting with maybe not a whole lot of new information, Tesla's GigaFest definitely pulled back the covers on a lot of things. Tesla was wide open here, allowing photography, allowing videos. We got some really great footage from a listener, Leo Plus X, on Twitter. Thank you, Leo. And a lot of people on Twitter sharing out really great information from the event. So we'll recap it here. It turned into really just kind of an innovation funhouse where Tesla saying, hey, here's what we've got. Here's all the innovation we've been working on, and here's how it's coming together. And I think a very strategic move from Tesla to kind of unveil a lot of these things at Giga Berlin. I think that helps build just local support, obviously helps probably with recruiting as well, and probably helps with politics there too as Tesla awaits final approval. That's probably a good place to start. Elon did give a brief talk at GigaFest and shared his thoughts on production timelines, saying, quote, "We're aiming to start production in a few months, hopefully in November or December, and we're hoping to deliver at least a few cars in December," end quote. So I think that's the most direct timeline Elon has given us on Giga Berlin production, at least for a while. Remember that public commentary period is still ongoing, I think for about another week or so. Then I'm sure those will take time to be evaluated. Hopefully no major snags from that. If so, November or December feels about right. There was separately an update here from BZ-Berlin, which reports that, quote, "On Friday, Brandenburg State Environment Agency allowed tests of the entire production line and the construction of the first 250 complete bodies. Now the final assembly can also be rehearsed until acceptance," end quote. So obviously from some of the footage that we have seen, it definitely looks like things are really getting ready to go there. Tesla getting these testing approvals. And then we did also have a video from somebody attending the event speaking with an employee. And the employee talking about production said, "We are ready. When we get the go, we can start within 2 hours. So it's exciting to hear, and hopefully when Tesla does get that approval, this sort of delay period will make the ramp up a little bit quicker. But Elon did reiterate the same comments that he made during the shareholder meeting, that they hope to get to volume production by the end of next year. Volume production there, he said, meaning 5,000 per week, or hopefully 10,000 per week. Elon also replied to a tweet noting some text from one of the many signs at GigaFest, noting that Tesla can produce one car body every 45 seconds, which at 100% for the entire year would be 700,000 per year, but obviously that's not achievable. Elon saying, quote, "It will hopefully achieve sustained cycle time of 45 seconds. At 75% uptime over an average week, that's about 10,000 per week if run 24/7, end quote. So that was production timeline and volume. Elon did seem to give us a little bit more information on their battery plans as well. We talked about this for Texas. Elon here saying at the Berlin event, quote, "For initial production, battery cells will be coming from outside of Europe, most likely from Tesla China, until we have the cell factory here in volume production," end quote. So I think this matches with what we laid out after the shareholder meeting, maybe the 4680s from Cato Road near Fremont going to Giga Texas originally, and maybe Texas starting with those cells immediately versus Berlin initially starting with 2170s from China or lithium iron phosphate for standard range vehicles from China or both. At the event, Tesla did actually have a side-by-side display of the 2170 packs and the 4680 packs, so cool to see those and some of the differences between them. And then Adam Berg here showing off some of the benefits of the 4680 structural pack with the seats being directly mounted on top of that pack, and then the chassis will just come in and sit right on top of that whole setup. So we've known Tesla was going to do that, kind of cool to see it in person, and that would be different than before where Tesla's taking the seats in from the side and kind of having to work around the chassis. Anyway, back to batteries. I haven't really seen anything related to dry battery electrode come out of GigaFest. I haven't really seen anything on cathodes. Doesn't mean that there weren't things there about that. Definitely doesn't mean I didn't miss them. But we did see something here on the anode from Alex Voigt, with Tesla kind of just casually showing off a 12-kilometer long spool of anode material. Then, of course, plenty of opportunity for Tesla to show off what they're doing with casting. I think we've talked plenty about that, but just in general, I would recommend this thread from Der Casper on Twitter. That's DerCasper. Just a really good thread breaking down the tour that they went through, kind of step by step, with some really good photos throughout. Next, we've heard Tesla talk a lot about the upgraded paint shop that Berlin will have. They had a really interestingly painted Model Y displayed outside, kind of a mix of some abstract things, some photorealistic things, I don't know if they're hinting at doing anything like this with production vehicles. Maybe they offer custom paint. I would be surprised if they do. Tesla's very focused on production efficiency, but a cool demonstration nonetheless. It could also be that some of those more graphical elements are just acting as a bit of a disguise of the paint color Tesla plans to offer. So this is kind of a gradient from a turquoise to a magenta, which maybe those both end up being new colors from Berlin. I think both of those would look really awesome. Probably not the highest take rates, but I think they'd look really cool. I also had to kind of laugh at the design of the hood here. If you look closely, it's a bear either holding or pawing at a Tesla logo. I don't know if Tesla's implying anything with that, but maybe a little subtle warning for Tesla bears. As for other paint-related things, there was some chatter about maybe some Easter egg on the tour of a blue or purple new color. One of those turned out to just be the UV light checking station, so nothing there. But separately from that, Galley did get a photo of a car under a cover that seems to have maybe a crimson paint job. So a lot to be excited about with the paint shop, and here again from that Dare Casper Twitter account, we can see a short video of the paint shop in action. Another thing that Tesla showed off were their headlights. So they had a little station set up showing their headlights projecting the Tesla logo on the wall, just demonstrating the range of adaptability of the headlights. Elon commenting on this, noting that they are high-precision LEDs so that they can be bright without blinding oncoming traffic, pedestrians, and cyclists. So anyway, a lot of cool stuff on product, on manufacturing. There were a couple of other fun tidbits in there too. Tesla did update the Giga Berlin website on tesla.com, and they've added a new render, and they're actually showing some graffiti near the entrance on this render. Remember, Tesla is kind of having a contest to have artists leave their mark on Giga Berlin. So Elon's saying that each of the staircases that extrude from the building in this render will eventually have graffiti on them as well. It's a little thing, but little things add up, and the sum of all those little things really is the basis of your culture. Last update from GigaFest then, probably the biggest news of all, is that Tesla will be offering, apparently, a Giga beer. Not really any more details on that, but I guess the next step from Tesla Tequila is Giga beer. Maybe if Tesla does have a rave cave there, maybe that's where we'll see Giga beer served. I don't know if they have any wider distribution plans on that. Last thing on GigaFest then, as we talked about before, I do think it was a savvy move for Tesla to do this in Germany first, but it does sound like Elon does have interest in doing a GigaFest at Giga Texas as well. I think that would be a blast. Tons of potential there, so hopefully we'll see that happen sometime soon. Next here, just a quick note, if you didn't get enough Giga in your life from GigaFest, Idra, the group that makes Tesla's casting machines, has published the second part of their five-part series on developing the Giga Press. I'm enjoying that series. It's always interesting to listen to them, so it's out there if you want it, but nothing too noteworthy in this section related to Tesla. All right, so the other big news that we got over the weekend was the release, of course, of FSD Beta 10.2. So in case you did miss it, I did already put out a video on this earlier today, and a lot of reports of new drivers being added with those 100 safety scores, as was expected. Anyway, I haven't had any opportunity to put any more miles on 10.2 since that video, so you guys have seen my entire experience with it so far, but just in case you did miss the video, my quick early thoughts, again, very early here, but I didn't immediately notice too many differences from the previous versions other than the cleaner visualization. I'll share some more thoughts as I get some more miles, but it'll be interesting to see now with the wider release how people respond to it and how comfortable Tesla is with continuing that expansion. All right, next up here, we got some pretty big news on the Model X now as we head into the fourth quarter. Seems like we finally got some action on the refreshed Model X. So you may remember a week or two ago, we had that drone video showing what looked to be some Model Xs in the Fremont parking lot. And today there have been a number of updates from order holders on the Tesla Motors Club forum. I think I saw a couple on Twitter as well, reporting that Tesla has given them a call to discuss their order. First report here saying, quote, "Just got a call from Tesla corporate asking if I'm willing to change to a 6-seat config for quick delivery. Agent stated that production is starting end of this / beginning of next week, and that only 6-seater plaids will be built / delivered," end quote. So we may just be a few days from Tesla actually starting production in earnest of the refreshed Model X. Obviously, it looks like they're starting off with that 6-seat configuration. This person said plaids only this year, but someone else reported getting a call about their long-range order saying that if they switch to 6 seats, they could get delivery this year. Again, who knows? Oftentimes, this stuff is kind of piecemealed together and we don't really know what's accurate, but we do know people are getting calls and they're being told that delivery could be this year. Someone else reporting that most likely delivery date would be late October or early November. So with this many reports, it seems likely that the production ramp is about to start. Based on Model S production in Q2, when that ramp really started, maybe we see a couple thousand Model X in Q4, maybe a bit more since we're early in the quarter now. but really exciting to see the Model X getting back into the fold after almost being down a year. All right, last couple of quick things. First is an update from Michael Burry over the weekend talking about presumably his position betting against Tesla, which of course we've talked about before a couple of times about how it was misrepresented as a multi-$100 million bet against Tesla when in reality, there was no way for us to know the size of the bet because it was through options. So Burry's fund's quarterly filing only disclosed the underlying shares for those options, but without knowing the strike price and expiration date, we can't actually understand what the value is. So just kind of a mystery. Anyway, Burry here saying, quote, how do you turn a few $100,000 into a few $100 million, become a journalist, read a 13D filing, report on it, voila, end quote. So yes, the reporting on this was wrong, as we had talked about, but Burry, you could have come out and said that when it was actually being reported on earlier. He sure didn't seem to have any problem with that, but hey, now that Tesla's up, all of a sudden, oh, nope, my bet wasn't that big, which I do think is true. It was never as big as it was reported to be, but again, could have clarified much sooner than now. I think he's still being disingenuous here because what's kind of crazy about what he's saying is that his fund's 13F filing from August shows a put position on nearly 1.1 million underlying shares. It ends up being 10,755 option contracts, and he says a few $100,000, so let's just assume 500,000. If that were true, that would mean the value of each contract is only $46. An example of a put position that is worth $46, and remember for this table you got to multiply by 100 because it's an option, would be a January 2022 $150 strike put. If you're new to options, a contract like that will expire worthless if at that expiration date Tesla trades anywhere above $150 per share. In other words, for those to be worth anything at the time they expire, Tesla would have to drop 82% in just about 3 months. So I'm not saying these are the options that Burry has, they're definitely not, because again, this was reported back in August and it was from a previous position. But regardless, that would be the general structure of how his puts would look if it was only a few $100,000 position. It's basically just buying a lottery ticket that the company is going to go bankrupt or something, and then it would make a ton of money. Or you could also trade these things short term, and if Tesla drops 5%, maybe the value of this put position increases 20% or something like that, maybe even more. But you could still make money even if you don't think Tesla's going to fall actually below that strike. Anyway, point being, it's a super tiny position based on what Burry is saying here. And yet on the 13F and based on how it was reported in the media, it looked like it was a $700 million position. And Burry let it get reported on that way for like 6 months. That's not on him, but obviously that reporting worked in his favor if he is betting against Tesla for it to be publicized that he's betting, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars against Tesla. Apparently no problem with that when it's in his favor, but then it starts to make him look bad when Tesla goes up and all of a sudden, hey, that wasn't right. Basically just not a very classy move from Burry in my opinion. But that is where we'll leave it for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And I'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, October 12th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.